Did you know that worship is like a reset? Now follow me here. You have a week of... Would you get any on you this week? You know, it can... You think of all the stuff that's going on in the world and in our society, and it can be tough. But then when we worship the Lord, it's like it puts everything back in perspective, because He is Lord of all. Think about this. Whenever He comes back, we go through, have you mix and match your eschatology, your last things. Jesus is coming. And then He's going to set up His earthly kingdom. For 1,000 years, He's going to reign on this earth. He's going to put everything back in place the way it should have been. Now, at the end of that, Satan's going to, you know, he's going to lead another rebellion. You're going to, and then he's... The Lord's going to, you know, cast him away, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But that's what we're headed for. This is momentary time right now. Just, I mean, it goes by like that. I mean, I can't believe I'm 58 years old. I just can't believe that time... is gone by that fast for me. Now, I'm planning on another 58, until Jesus comes. I'm planning, because I truly believe I'm going to be alive when He comes. I'm trusting that. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Worship is a reset. Puts us back the way it should be. You can put all that other stuff aside and say, Lord, in the end, it really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Now, we got a couple of people on crutches around here. Corey's over here. He came for some sympathy today. I hope y'all have given it to him. You know, if you're looking for it here, Corey, you come to the wrong one. You hadn't even watched Tombstone yet, I bet. And Tommy Boy, are the girls carrying your books for you at school, Tommy Boy? They're not? I thought you were working that magic at school. He was injured playing football and getting around on crutches and all. But it's good to see y'all here today. Now, today I really don't have a sermon for you. It's more of a message, and I told you a while back that's kind of how it's been for me lately. It's a message, so it's not going to exactly fit. You know, there'll be some points in it, but I just need you to follow my heart today, okay? If you have your Bible, turn with me to the 19th chapter of Matthew. And you know what is a miracle today as you turn 19th chapter of Matthew is that James Barnes is not wearing a thing red today. Oh, I didn't even see the baby. Don't wear it when they lose? Thank you, Donnie. Donnie keeps us all humble. Mr. Boise State. Yeah, they won again. I didn't even see the baby. Put Josiah up there. Josiah, is it Josiah Jonathan or Jonathan Josiah? Yeah, put that boy up so everybody can see that fine boy. Well, you know, he's already 3 months old. I mean... He was 9 pounds, 7 ounces. Wow. A man child, that's right. That's right. Hey, you're going to have some competition, man. You better keep your loins girded up, David. That boy is going to give you a run for your money. Because I don't think there's any way he's not going to be spoiled. But that's okay. Matthew chapter 19. This comes on the heels of the rich young ruler experience. You know, he goes, I've kept all these things. You know, he goes away in sadness that day. And then verse 23, it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. They'd just been dealing with a rich man. This rich young ruler. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I said this to you before. It's isn't talking about the needle in the side of the wall that you have to take the junk off the camel that he goes through. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a needle. The eye of a needle. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Wow. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and they said, now based on that, who then can be saved? That knocks us all out. Because none of us can go through the eye of a needle. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let's pray. Lord, today as we come to you, I thank you for a beautiful day. Blue sky, low humidity, gentle breeze. Lord, that hurricane passed right by us. We bless you for that. Lord, I'm praying you're going to turn that hurricane right on out to sea. Lord, it'll take a right and not a left. And I ask you, Lord, today, if you'll open our hearts to your word, let us hear from you right now. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place right now. Speak to us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. How may I pray for you? My mom got some good news this week. Been a great week for her. She told me last night. She was testifying. Almost couldn't get her off the phone. I was thinking, Mom, I got to go to bed. But she's testifying, praising the Lord. She said, I just had such a good time praising the Lord. What He's done in my life. Said that prayers He's answered. Now, I want you to know, Mom doesn't just praise the Lord when it's good news. She praises the Lord when it's bad news, too. I mean, that's who she is. That's how she rolls with life. Boy, I could see the smile on her face through the telephone. I mean, it was that big. You know, her numbers were good. She's eating like a longshoreman. You know, she's 115 pounds up from 105 a few weeks ago when I asked y'all to pray. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. White count is up. The platelets were up. They gave her a unit of blood on Thursday. She was able to get the double chemo. Gets that every 3 weeks on Friday. Her cancer numbers that when she started the chemo were at 1,397, are down to 124. When she gets to 35, she'll essentially be cancer free again. So y'all pray that. And Lord says she can get out without the mask. So pray for that. But if you see her, don't hug her. Just talk to her, but without the mask. She was telling me last night, she said, we went to the grocery store. Said, we were getting our groceries, and I said, I was writing a check, And the young gal at the counter there said, "Man, what is your name?" She said, "It's Beverly Reynolds." She said, "Well, can I pray for you?" Now, man, that ripped me. I mean, my heart right down the middle to hear that. Here's this young gal. She says, "Miss Reynolds, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." What a blessing. So I want to tell you, it means something when you ask that question. How may I pray for you? Who knows what God is up to, how He might use you. And it's a war to pray, isn't it? It's a battle. Because everything in society, the world, flesh, and the devil, is there to say, don't pray. Because they're saying it is impossible. They are saying, who then can be saved? Nobody. If you really think about it, on the one side of God's judgment, well, you look at things, you say, oh man, God's just going to, and we're gone. I mean, you know, if we get what we deserve, and by the way, you ever hear anybody say, I just want what I got coming? I just want what I deserve back away. Because I don't. Because I know God knows every thought, every deed, every action, every intention of my soul that man can't measure, but God knows all of it. He knows exactly what is in my heart. And He knows the great evil that has been there. But thanks be to God we have the victory through Jesus. Thanks be to God. Are you opposed in your prayer? What stops you? You know, prayer's not complicated, is it? It's not rocket science. But yet, the evil one, the world system, will try to complicate. We'll try to complicate it by using a formula, by thinking you got to gin something up to pray, to think it's got to be in a particular place, that you got to have a certain inflection of your voice. When God is calling on us to pray. When we pray, the Holy Spirit, He can assess the need of a person. Can He? To see if it's physical, emotional, and of course all of it's spiritual. There really is no such thing as a, though we use these terms and understand them when we have to use them sometimes, but really there's no such thing between spiritual and secular. Did you know that? God has no such division because He sees it all. As one system, He sees it all. Just like your job is spiritual. Where you go to work is a mission field. The connections you have. It's a place where you have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to stir up the gifts in you. You see, that's what He did. We see that at Pentecost. We see the great move of the Holy Spirit that came there. As the Spirit of God came upon the church, there was a stirring. And what did He do? He threw them out. He threw them out of the prayer room, out into the streets, out into the world. And you read all those places where they came from. They literally had come from all over the world. So there they were, stirred up with the Lord. And that's what He does when you pray. Then He throws you out. So that prayer makes a difference in people's lives. You're there. And some of it you get to see an immediate result. And it may be a lifetime or it may be eternity future before you get to see. So I like that Ray Bolt song, that thank you for giving to the Lord. Young people, y'all heard that one. YouTube it later on. Not right now. Because when you log on to the wireless here, we've got your ID. And exactly when you logged on. Just to let you know that. A little tidbit of information. That's why I look at my watch from time to time. When you pray for people. How many of you had opportunity to do that this week? May I pray for you? Did you see the Lord do something immediately? Let me ask you this. When you said, may I pray for you, and then they began to speak to you, was the Lord also speaking to you? And sometimes was what the Lord speaking to you about what they needed, was it different from what that was coming out of their mouth? Let me put it this way. When you ask someone, when you're in deep stuff and you're in trouble, anybody been in trouble lately? Well, six of us are honest. Every one of us has been in trouble. Because you've looked at your checkbook, you've looked at your money, you've looked at situations, and you said, man, how's this going to be? How's this going to be? But as you describe your need to somebody, are you going to be completely honest? Are you? Really? A perfect stranger comes up to you and says, may I pray for you? And you're going to immediately say, right to that perfect stranger, well, you know, I just had a knockdown, drag-out fight with my wife. And I'm so mad right now I could bite nails. And you would not believe the things I'm thinking about doing right now. Would you say that? Probably not. You do some generic thing, well, we're having some family problems. You might get that intimate. So, who fills in the blanks? The Spirit of God. Who shows us how to pray? Who gives us the words? Who speaks to us? That's why we need to listen. Y'all notice, a lot of times, when you ask me to pray for you, what's one of the things that I'll say first? We'll say, let's listen for just a moment. Got to hear from the Lord. It doesn't mean you're not coming in agreement with the prayer request. But you know, if when I'm requesting prayer, I knew why my pants were on fire, then I might be requesting that. But all I know is my pants are on fire right now. And I need somebody to shoot up here amongst us because we need relief. Maybe God wants to come and speak. So as you pray, it's one of the things I encourage you to do. Listen. Pray what God puts on your heart. And does your prayer stop there? No. Hear me. Your prayer is the beginning. And He shows you how to act and what to do as you continue with those people. Just like the 120, there they are in the upper room. They're praying. They're singing. Oh man, they're having a great worship time. God is coming to them, speaking to them specifically. They're hearing prophetic words from the Lord. He is speaking. They're having great discernment. The gifts are being stirred up. And then what happens? Whew, it gets even better than that. Spirit of God comes in a powerful way upon all flesh. And miracles take place. But that's only the beginning. The gospel then goes out to the entire world. And you can map it geographically there in Jerusalem and draw your concentric circles and see how the gospel went out. Map the places in the book of Acts then at that point where then the good news went out from that point to touch people's lives. Because you see, the Lord has There's a method in the madness of this prayer. What's the primary need everybody has? Salvation. Because like the little chorus says, there ain't no sin up there but in my Father's house. If there's not going to be sin there, something's got to happen to me before I can go there. That great thing is Jesus. Where sin can be forgiven. The people you work with, the people around you. Look at all the things they're doing out of guilt and fear in their lives. Because of the choices they're making and how sin is controlling their life. And sin is anything that's displeasing to God. Anything that's displeasing to God. It's things that you do that you're not supposed to do. Things you should have done that you didn't do. Sin's an attitude of the heart, is it not? Nothing's impossible with God. Is there anybody in your life that's too far from your prayers where you can intercede for them and they will come to the Lord? When someone asks you to pray for them, what is their greatest need? Is it that that family problem be fixed right then? What if the family problem gets fixed and they go to hell? I'm sorry to be that blunt with you, but there's something more important than that need. Now, that need is a part of everything else that's going on, but the first need that all of us have is that relationship with Him. I want to ask you today, do you have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus? Or did you at one time in your life join the church, never really joined Jesus? I was 10 years old when I joined our church. I was growing up. I was baptized. I think I was probably ready to be saved then. And I may have been. But I had great doubts about that. Great doubts in my life. I remember going to sleep at the age of 15 on the couch on a Friday night at home. And I woke up just in time to hear Billy Graham finishing. He was doing one of his crusades. And he was finishing. And he said, just say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Him. Continue to have great doubts in my life about my own relationship to the Lord. Do I really know Him? Am I sure? I want to ask you today, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? And I'll use the churchy language on that you're saved, that you belong to Jesus, that you're part of His family. Whatever particular assortment of words you want, you know what I'm talking about. That you know Him. I'm not talking, have you done religious things in the past? Do you know when John and Charles Wesley came to Savannah, do you know they were unsaved? He was pastor of the Anglican church here. That's right, Father Methodism. But he was an Anglican pastor. Do you know he was part of a holy club at his school, at his college, back in England? You know who else was a part of that club along with John and Charles Wesley? George Whitefield. Do those names mean anything to you? Yeah, all part of the Great Awakening that took place in this country and in Great Britain and some on the continent. But I want you to know they were part of a holy club. In fact, eventually that was meant as a derisive kind of comment against them, but eventually they embraced it and they liked it. But when they began the club, the Wesley boys and Whitfield were all unsaved. They were religious. By everything in the day, they'd been baptized. They were a member of the church. All that stuff. But lost. Away from God. Wesley would tell you that later on as he had his great experience, you know, as he stood up and someone was reading the preface, Luther's preface to the book of Romans, and it talked about faith. I'm talking about Martin Luther here, the one who nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg door there, as he was coming out of the Catholic Church at that time and saying, it's by faith alone. By faith alone. In Jesus. And they're reading that preface. And Luther records in his diary, Wesley records in his diary, my heart was strangely moved. That was his salvation experience. He would go on to explain that. Whitfield would say that later on he realized as he was hearing all of this that he had put stock in religious stuff and had not given his heart to the Lord. And boy, when they embraced a personal relationship with Jesus, God used them to set their world on fire. They understood it's all about Him, not about us. See, we go back in the beginning and we see the salvation story. We see there is Adam and Eve in the garden, and they fell. Sin entered into the human race. And we flip to the last book of the Bible, and we read when it talks about Jesus there, it says, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Meaning that the Father had already been planning. I don't understand the sovereignty of God. Just like I don't understand that God already knew your name. He already knew you in eternity past. He knew what you would look like. He knew right now, at this very moment, you'd be listening here. And He would know that your greatest need is not that you get more money. It's not that you pass a test. Not that things start going better in your home. And all those can be good things. But your greatest need, your first and foremost need, is Jesus. Are your sins forgiven? I'm not talking about, are you religious? Have you walked in and out of a church building and gone to meetings? Let me tell you, the Wesley boys, John and Charles, and George Whitfield, they were pastors ordained and lost. How about you? How about you? May I pray for you? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. You see, God in His wisdom, then He, you know, there's the fall and man, sin enters in and then we see His unfolding plan, which was all for us. Then we see the whole sacrificial system, which of the Old Testament, which is a picture of salvation. Picture of a relationship with Him. And all the feast and all that to be fulfilled. It's all about when you come back. The stackpole of all of it is a relationship with the one and only. Now let me tell you, right now, if you're listening to my message, this message I believe I got from the Lord, and you're saying, well, but I know all that. Let me tell you, there's a smugness that has entered your heart that is not from God. If you're taking this message today for granted, because right around you are people that are already headed to an everlasting, eternal separation from God. And they need Jesus. Now they need Jesus. The door is open. Several years ago, when the Iron Curtain began to come down, the crumbling, you remember them there in Berlin, and that wall coming down, that symbolic act, and oh, the world rejoiced. And remember, they were calling for missionaries to go into Russia and the former Soviet republics. They're calling for them to come in and say, come and come now. Come now. Come now. Some came. But you know what's happened to that opportunity in Russia today? It has shrunk. Let me ask you, is timing important? You know it, your parents know it as raised children. You know, you get that window of time where you can speak into their lives before sometime, and you know, after puberty or sometime during that, where they suddenly know everything. You know. And then you get to watch them see, and pardon my French, get their behinds busted by the world. They'll stare right in the face. No, I'm going to do it my way. And you're saying, no, please. Please don't. Please don't. May I pray for you? The people around you need you to be praying for them, to pray for their need, to pray that they can come to the Lord. Pray that God will use you to bring them to Him. That's their choice. You know, this is not Islam. There's not a guy standing there with a sword saying, are you ready to convert? This is not Constantine telling his general to just take the army down to the river and let them baptize all of them, and then overnight all of them will be Christian. What a farce. And by the way, that's something, you know, all that stuff. Join a church, even baptism can become a farce to someone. And let me tell you, any group that teaches that baptism is a part of your salvation is wrong. That's heresy. Baptism is an outward showing of what has already happened inside you. When you add anything to Jesus, you have made it heretical. Anything is Christ and Christ alone. That does not diminish baptism. No! It puts it in the place that it should be. First place that a new believer gets to preach the change in his life. There it is. May I pray for you? What great love He has for us, that nothing is impossible. How many lost causes do we have in the building today? Somebody told you. Someone with the breath of Satan himself said to you, you're a lost cause. You remember that? You're not worth saving. Or you'll never be this. Or in some way they tried to tell you that Jesus didn't love you. You see, He's the Lord of lost causes. What a blessing when He comes with His love. No respecter of persons. And He meets you right where you are. We've got this idea. We come to Jesus. No. Jesus has been knocking, wanting to come in. All we do is open the door. And we let Him come in. Have you received Him into your life? I was a member of the church 5 years before I can say that I know that Jesus came into my life. In fact, it was such a big deal. Same thing happened to Audrey. We were part of the Jesus movement of the 60s and all, product of that renewal that was taking place in our country. In fact, after we got married, you know, that happened to me when I was 15. Same thing happened to her at about the same age. Audrey's younger than me. We got married and we were going to seminary. The first church that we went to join the church, when we came to tell the pastor we wanted to join the church, he said, I said, but we need to talk to you. So that week we met with him, both Audrey and I said, we've not been scripturally baptized. He said, what do you mean? Said, we were baptized before we were saved. The scriptural order of things that you're baptized after you're saved. So there one of our acts together. We were baptized together in the pool there at the North Fort Worth Baptist Church. D.L. Lowry baptized us. I had to get it right. That's the order. Have you received Jesus? May I pray for you? Have you? Do you know Him? Today, I just know in my heart, Lord just wouldn't let this off of me this week. I know it's an issue with some of you. I don't know who, but maybe today you lack the assurance of your salvation. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray about the primary need. I also want to pray today that if we say we belong to Jesus, it's time to get busy filling up all the seats in His kingdom. It's time to get busy filling up all those spots in our lives of those people that He has called us to be part of His plan in the earth. Who in your influence does not know Jesus? Let's pray. Maybe you've been listening to me today and you could say today, you know, Brother Dusty, I've done a lot of religious things and I've been around the church, but I can't say that I've ever had a genuine life-changing experience with Jesus. Today's the day. You can pray this prayer with me today and receive Him into your life. Because by the way, if I'm the one that's called on to do your funeral, that will be the most important question that will be asked of me and that I will ask. Did you know Jesus? Is He in your life? You can pray this prayer with me. And if it's a prayer of faith that you come to Him with, then He hears. He is drawn to faith. Because Scripture says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He can do the impossible. He can save you today. Simply come to Him today and say, Lord Jesus, I need You. I ask You to forgive my sin. And I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord. I give you control of my life. Thank you for forgiving my sin and making me a new person. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd sure like to know about it. Then you can sing with a great hymnist, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life." I'd sure like to know about it. You can tell me personally, you can put it on a card, see me afterwards, but I'd sure like to know today if you did business with Him. Now, second prayer I want to pray for you is if you're willing to be His ambassador, His prayer ambassador, His change agent wherever you go, and you can pray this prayer with me for what God is going to do through your life. Put it this way. Lord, forgive me for the past of the way I failed you. And right now, I put myself at your disposal. All I am, my gifts, what you've put in my hand. Use me, Lord, to reach other people. Everything that I am and I have. Use, Lord. I'm counting, Lord, on the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm counting, Lord, on your gifts in me. Lord, I pray this prayer in faith. The altar's open. If you'd like to come and pray or pray with one of the pastors today, this is your time. Daniel's not here to lead the way for you today, so you'll just have to get started yourself. Come.
Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me, and He rose again. Jesus died for me. Jesus set me free. Jesus died for me, and He rose again. And all the wrong I've done, and all the wrong I'll do, every single sin's been washed away. Thank you.
We'd like to get your cards. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it at this time. Under the authority of Yahweh, the Father, by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus and His resurrection, and in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, I send you out. I send you out in His name to do His work, to be His people, that you may see the need, that you may pray, that you may act as the hands and feet of Yeshua the Lord. Amen.